Our next case is number 042344, Gerzazi against the Attorney General. Counsel.
Thank you, Your Honors. May it please the Court. This matter comes before the Court on petition for review of the decision of the Board of Immigration Appeals and the Immigration Court. The facts in this case are not in dispute. Justin Gerzazi, the youngest petitioner, was kidnapped when he was 2 years of age. Ms. Gerzazi was attacked in her home so severely she spent 9 days recovering from the attack. Mr. Gerzazi was accosted, beaten, and his life threatened. And an arrest warrant was issued for Mr. Gerzazi after he attended a peaceful demonstration of the Democratic Party. Mr. Gerzazi was an active member of the Democratic Party. He held the post of secretary for 3.5 years with the Democratic Party, and he was assigned as a representative of the Democratic Party during the highly contested national elections in Albania in 1997. The kidnapping of Justin Gerzazi occurred just 3 weeks before the national elections. Mr. Gerzazi was attacked just 2 days before that. Ms. Gerzazi was beaten less than 1 week after the elections, in which the Socialist Party gained control of the country. Excuse me. Finally, the family received threatening phone calls demanding Mr. Gerzazi manipulate the votes during the election to ensure the Socialist Party candidate's success, or the family would suffer consequences.
Now, these facts, you say, are conceded by the government or found by the immigration judge?
They were found by the immigration judge, yes. Despite the detailed, consistent and plausible testimony of the lead petitioner, his wife, and a witness explaining each incident of harm and the motives of the persecutors, the immigration judge relied on the petitioner's financial success as middle-class individuals and a high crime rate in Albania in determining that the sole motive of the persecutors was economic.
What evidence did he not admit? Did the immigration judge not let in?
Your Honor, there were numerous documents that he did not
give me the types of evidence. You don't have to.
The documents were an arrest warrant for the petitioner issued by the government, the ruling party, the Socialist Party. They were a certificate from the Commission of Police confirming the kidnapping of Justin Gerzazi, a certificate from the police confirming the Gerzazi home was destroyed by fire, a medical certificate confirming Ms. Gerzazi was sought medical treatment for 9 days as a result of the beating, as well as 2 Democratic Party letters confirming Mr. Gerzazi's activities with the party, as well as his activities in the poll center in the 1997 election.
Yeah, but he seemed to have found, without that being admitted in those exhibits being admitted in evidence, he seemed to make findings that confirm those, though, right?
Yes, Your Honor, he did. And it is our contention that for those reasons, they met the burden of proof. Even without the documents, even with the documents being excluded, which we're not conceding that they should have been because they should not have been, but even without the documents, they met the burden of proof that the beatings that they endured, the torture they endured, was at least in part motivated by their political opinion and should therefore have been granted asylum.
So your point is the documents really didn't, while they were relevant and probative perhaps on the issue of whether those incidents happened, which he accepted happened, they weren't really relevant and probative on whether the motivation for those incidents was political or economic. They really didn't bear on that, did they?
The Democratic Party letters did, and the Democratic Party membership letter did, because those established that the incidents occurred right 3 weeks before the election, and the Democratic Party letters confirmed his activities with the party, and the fact that he held such a prominent position with the party, secretary for 3.5 years with the party in his city of Fier, as well as at the poll center in Fier for the 1997 election, as well as his Democratic Party membership. In addition, the summons for his arrest is direct evidence that the government is looking for Mr. Gerzazi on account of his political activities.
What was the credibility determination based on?
Your Honor, the immigration judge found that the testimony was absolutely credible. He found that because he felt that the documents were unreliable, that raised credibility issues.
He found the documents unreliable, but he made findings of fact that are consistent with them.
Yes, Your Honor, that's correct.
So he talks about credibility findings. He's talking about of the documents. He's not talking about the personal credibility of your clients.
Absolutely not. He found that their testimony was absolutely credible.
He's talking more about the trustworthiness of those documents.
Yes, that's correct. Your Honor, just as in Georges v. Ashcroft, however, the immigration in this matter excluded evidence submitted to corroborate the persecutor's motives, then denied the application for asylum for failure to provide evidence of the motives of the persecutor. The immigration judge in the present case improperly excluded evidence that supported the conclusion that the individuals who attacked the petitioners were motivated, at least in part, because of the lead petitioner's political activities and opinion. The documents were never found to be fraudulent. Moreover, the immigration judge never even indicates that he believed that petitioners thought the documents were fraudulent. While petitioners were not required to submit documentary evidence to establish the motives of the persecutors, they did. Petitioners met their burden of proof with their own credible testimony, the credible testimony of an eyewitness, as well as documentary evidence establishing the political motivation of the persecutors. The immigration judge's findings that the persecutors were mere criminals and their motive was solely economic gain is not supported by the evidence. While there is no question that the individuals who harmed the petitioners received financial gain, it cannot be argued that they were not motivated, at least in part, on account of the lead petitioner's political opinion.
Was there any financial gain for the perpetrators in some of the cases?
There was with the kidnapping of the child, yes.
The kidnapping of the child and possibly the robbery of the wife.
Yes.
But with respect to the others, was there really any evidence of monetary gain?
I don't believe so, Your Honor. No. On one occasion, the home was set on fire. There was obviously no monetary gain with that. Also, with the warrant issued for the arrest, there was no monetary gain with that. In addition, I would like to point out that prior to the elections of 1997, there were no attacks on the petitioners whatsoever. These attacks began 3 weeks before the highly contested national elections, in which the Socialist Party did win control of the country. Any reasonable person, in the petitioners' position would fear that the harm they faced and the danger they were in was on account of the lead petitioner's political activities. This court has held that corroborating evidence is essential to bolster an otherwise unconvincing case. But when an asylum applicant does testify credibly, it is unnecessary to submit corroborating evidence in order to sustain his or her burden of proof. In the present case, not only did the two adult petitioners testify credibly about each incident of harm, they presented a witness who further corroborated the harm they suffered, as well as the political activities of the lead petitioner. Petitioners also presented documentary evidence to further confirm each incident of harm they suffered, as well as the political activities of the lead petitioner and the connection to the harm. The immigration judge excluded most, if not all, of the documents that established petitioners were harmed, and the harm they endured was on account of the lead petitioner's political activities. In his decision, the immigration judge held that the manner in which the documents were presented by petitioners, the manner in which the documents were obtained and submitted led him to the conclusion that the decision must be denied. He found the petitioner's use of false passports to enter the U.S. triggered a series of questions about the other documents. While it is true that the petitioners are not proud of the fact that they used false documents to enter the country, they had no choice. That was the only way they were going to flee Albania. Moreover, he found that other issues were raised by the documents.
They were given those passports by someone friendly to them? Was that the idea?
Your Honor, I'm not sure. I believe that they purchased the passports. I'm not sure if they were friendly with the individuals. But they were told upon arrival in the United States to destroy the passports, and they did that. And therefore, at the hearing, the immigration judge asked for the passports, and they were unable to provide those documents because they stated that upon arrival in the U.S., they destroyed them. Moreover, he found other issues were raised by the documents because Mr. Gerezi testified they were all photocopies. However, Mr. Gerezi never testified that all of his documents were photocopies. Finally, he found the petitioner's inability to explain the dates on the documents led him to the conclusion that documents were not trustworthy despite petitioner's credible testimony. The documents were not admitted and were merely marked for identification purposes. Petitioners testified that the documents they submitted in support of their application were obtained by Ms. Clarita Gerezi's father after their departure from Albania. In fact, in his decision, the immigration judge admits that the record clearly shows the documents were obtained by Ms. Gerezi's father. While it is true that the lead petitioner was unable to explain why some of the dates contained, why some of the documents contained dates that they did prior to dates of issuance that were prior to the family's departure from Albania, none of the dates on the documents were inconsistent with any of the testimony in court. The dates on the documents.
Is that where the translator was, he indicated the translator was having problems with regard to photocopies and dates and things?
That was with the photocopies, Your Honor. There were numerous problems with the translation. There were numerous times when the judge had to stop the proceedings, ask the translator if she had in fact translated the information, the question that he had asked. Your Honor, while the government contends in its brief that the immigration judge found the documents unreliable based on inconsistencies, this is not correct. There were no inconsistencies with dates on the documents regarding the testimony. Moreover, the dates on the documents had nothing to do with the veracity of the claim or the veracity of the documents. It is our contention that petitioners were victims of severe persecution amounting to torture on account of their political opinion. The immigration judge's decision is not supported by substantial evidence and should be reversed. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. We'll now hear from Ms. Schwartz.
Good morning, Your Honors. Nora Ascoli Schwartz for Respondent Gonzalez. This is one of the rare cases where the petitioner submitted documentation and corroboration, which when he was really better off on his own testimony. His own testimony was found credible, consistent, and the events were consistent with country conditions. However, his corroboration completely undermined his claim. He has an affidavit for a neighbor talking about the assault on his wife. And the affidavit clearly says Mr. Petitioner was asked for money from extortionists. He didn't pay it, and that's why they went to the house and went and beat up his wife and went looking for him to collect on the money because he hadn't paid it. That's clearly in the affidavit. When he was asked, why would your neighbor say this? He said, I can't speak for why she says what she says. His own witness said, you can go to the police station and money will buy you anything in Albania. His own witness came in and said, you can buy any documents, you can pay the police for any documents, and they will produce them. Petitioner himself said, you can buy any documents in Albania. And I sent my father, and apparently they have like a little document factory there. He said, well, you know, once you go to the police station, then there's a notary and a translator who will notarize all the documents and translate them into English. So apparently this is a big money-making scheme in Albania. This is his own testimony. So the issue here is not, and both witnesses, both the affidavit and the live witness who came, and he came here not for asylum himself, but he came here because he won the diversity lottery. He said everybody knew petitioner had money. And that's what the affidavit said of the neighbor.
Well, it's a catch-22 then, as you describe it. If you don't produce any documents, then the ruling is you don't have anything to support your testimony. If you do produce the documents, now the argument, at least from Albania, is that anybody can get documents and so we can never prove any asylum.
But that's not a catch-22. Here, his testimony was sufficient. The case did not fail on the sufficiency of the evidence. It failed on his failure to establish nexus. And in this case, no nexus was established. He himself said, things are insane in Albania. Ever since the collapse of the governments because of the pyramid schemes under the Democratic Party,
Explain to me this, then. Under those circumstances, how can anyone support an asylum claim from Albania?
Your Honor, we're not talking about every case from Albania. We're talking about this case where the evidence...
Just give me an example where it would be a solid case.
Your Honor,
From the government standpoint, how would you prove, if you were on the other side, if you were the petitioner, how would you support your claim?
You don't need to support your claim. Your claim, if credible, does not need corroboration. What I'm saying here is that the corroboration he submitted undermined his claim.
How would you corroborate your claim, then, if you can't trust any documents from Albania?
Well, you can trust some documents, but not these. If he brought contemporaneous documents, that would have been one thing. But he didn't. He brought documents which were manufactured solely for the purpose of establishing his claim. He says that.
What would be an example of a contemporaneous document?
The arrest warrant. If he had brought the arrest warrant when it was issued,
would he get it? Just go to the police? From your indication, they just print up one that was the same day. You can make it.
But it wasn't. That's what's interesting. Even the arrest warrant doesn't help him because the arrest warrant says The arrest warrant says he's already been arrested, if you look at the wording. Now, if they want to say faulty translation, they never exhausted that. He never said, oh, there's a mistake there. The arrest warrant clearly says he has already been arrested. He claims he didn't even know about it. His father-in-law...
How do we know that's what it says?
Because that's what the translation that he submitted in the record says. If you look at it, that's exactly what it says. It says he was arrested. And he doesn't challenge the translation of that. Moreover, he hasn't exhausted his remedies on the exclusion of the documents, and he hasn't... we have the Cuco issue on the translation. I have cited, at least a dozen pages where the translator said, wait a minute, I can't translate, he's talking too fast. And the judge said, hold up your hand and stop him. And the translator said, at least six times, and I can cite you to the record, 113, 126, 128, 133 to 34, 143, 149, 174. She says to the judge, please tell him to stop. He is giving me too much information. I can't translate. At least a dozen times. So,
do you want to penalize him for that?
No, but you can't say, but you have to say,
ma'am,
where's the prejudice?
His testimony is true.
Absolutely. The issue is nexus.
Then why are you tearing him apart like this?
I don't believe I am. I believe I'm just describing the record. And the record is...
But you believe that he's telling the truth, and that's the situation in Albania.
That's the situation in Albania, but it does not mean that he is persecuted on account of a statutorily protected ground which entitles to him to asylum.
What about the letters from the party in support of his claim?
Well, the letters from the party said that he was a secretary, but by his own testimony, he said he was it was translated as social worker, but he basically said he was one of five or six people in the city who were in charge of social work, who was setting up the meetings. He didn't have any influence, and in fact, the part with his son, while he believes that it was related, that testimony, again, you get to the subjective fear. He believes that this was on account of his political opinion or the fact that he was one of six people who arranged for meetings in the city of Fier. However, that doesn't mean that there's no objective evidence to support that. Everyone knew he had money. His son was kidnapped. He was returned to him 2 days later upon payment of money. And even if you believe his testimony, and we do because he was not found not credible, he was just found that the incidents did not occur because of his political opinion. He said, well, they let him out because they figured they'd have money. They knew. They found out I didn't have any influence. So none of the subsequent events could be on account of political opinion because he admits, I had no influence. They knew that. But he had money. In fact, the reason he met his witness was because his witness worked in a money-changing operation, and he was there on a weekly basis exchanging Albanian lecs for U.S. dollars. Even the incident about the fire to his apartment, again, he may not remember it, but in his asylum application, he says, I was sitting around watching TV, and all of a sudden I smelled gas. And I escaped to my neighbors, and only my apartment was burned down. In his testimony, he said, I was at my father-in-law's house, and when I got home, I noticed that there was liquid gas under the door. I tried to open the door. I saw a shadow, and I never entered. Okay, that's diametrically opposed. We don't contest the fact that his apartment was burned. We contest the circumstances. We don't know that it was on account of a political opinion. It may have been, again, in furtherance of the fact that people were trying to extort money from him because he had money. I mean, you extort money from people with money because they're the ones who can pay, and they were punishing for his failure to pay. I mean, the fact is, crime is rampant in Albania. There's one person against another.
So the government came up with that conclusion and then denied it?
That there was no nexus. And as to the documents, the brief goes on for 10 pages between 21 and 31, being very, very specific, challenging what the specific problems were with each document. But they were not admitted. Their lack of admission was not contested, and therefore it is waived. They cannot claim torture because they have waived the CAT claim. And we also contest that this is anything other than the situation in Albania. People with money are targeted for extortion, not on account of their political opinion, and petitioner has established nothing more here. I would also add that even the testimony about the passport, he claims that if he destroyed the passports, his father-in-law would get a $4,000 refund. Yet he also testifies that the person who was going to report that his father was entitled to the refund, he can't even be sure that he observed it. He didn't turn the passport over to this person who would then tell the people to refund the $4,000 to his father-in-law. He just said, well, he was walking ahead of me when I destroyed them. I don't know whether he saw them. Again, we're not questioning that he believes these things to be true and that he believes it was on account of his political opinion, but the facts do not compel that it was. Moreover, he never establishes what brought that into question. He never establishes how his Albanian passport got into the country. He said, I didn't bring it with me because at the time I didn't want to be caught with two passports. I had a Slovenian false passport, which apparently was good enough to get him through immigration, and it did. And he didn't want to risk being searched and having an Albanian passport. So how did his real passport get through? There are just more questions raised than are answered, and therefore...
I think we do have the point, and your time has expired.
Then I will conclude by saying, because there are more questions raised than answered, the evidence cannot be found to compel a finding that the harm that he suffered was persecution on account of a political opinion. Thank you, Your Honors. I apologize for violating the red light.
Your time had expired as well, so the case will be taken under advisement. And the court, having finished the call of the day, will rise until 9:30 tomorrow. Thank you.